Variables and Values. Introduction. JavaScript has been around since about 1995, but has grown in leaps and bounds, especially since the introduction of server-side capabilities over the last 10 years. In 2009, a programmer named Ryan Dahl released a tool called Node.js that allowed JavaScript to do something pretty cool. Up until that time, JavaScript had mostly been run from within a web browser, and web browsers still include JavaScript engines in order to run client-side programs. Node.js allowed JavaScript to be run on servers and was built with some innovations that made server-side JavaScript very fast and very useful. Since then, JavaScript development has become one of the primary ways to make powerful web applications. JavaScript is a scripting language, one among many. Scripting languages are historically used to write small programs, or scripts, that take care of common everyday tasks. They're intended to be used for fast prototyping and as a way, so to speak, of gluing other programs to each other so that they can work together more easily. It's a very common task to write a script that will pipe the output of one program into another, and then pipe the output of that one into yet another, and so on. Because of this, all scripting languages emphasize flexibility and the ability to be used in many different problem contexts. They don't all share the same philosophies. One scripting language, Perl, has a motto: there's more than one way to do it. Perl is an extraordinarily efficient and sometimes difficult to read, at first glance, scripting language that stresses ultimate flexibility. By contrast, Python, another powerful language, has this saying as part of its Zen or mission statement: there should be one way to do it. Python developers stress maintainability and realize that more than one developer might be working on a project, so code should be as easy as possible to read. JavaScript isn't quite a direct competitor with Perl, Python, Ruby, or other scripting languages. It's evolved into quite a powerful platform for development, but its advantages are primarily rooted in the fact that every major web browser comes with a JavaScript engine to run JavaScript code that can be included with a web page. JavaScript also can run on servers, separate from the context of a web page, through a standalone engine like Node.js. In both cases, the language is essentially the same. Node.js can do some extra things, though, because it doesn't have the same security restrictions as a browser version of JavaScript. You don't want random web pages scanning the directories on your computer. We're going to use Node.js for learning about JavaScript. In order to do that, we'll use an online tool called Repellit. The name of the tool is derived from Repel, which is an acronym that stands for Read, Evaluate, Print, Loop. Many programming languages support Repels. A Repel allows you to work with a prompt in a terminal or terminal-like environment and type in statements and commands in order to interact with a specific programming language. This can be a very useful way to try out ideas. You're going to use a Node.js Repel in order to learn about JavaScript. You might be wondering if Node.js is different from the JavaScript engine that comes with your web browser. The answer is that there are, yes, some differences. But don't worry. We're not going to start with anything that you won't be able to use in your browser. When we try to do something meant for the server later on, we'll tell you what's happening. Step 1. Go to Repellit and create an account using your Google account information. Step 2. After you create your account, you'll be directed to a dashboard page that shows your existing development environments. At the top of the page, you'll see a button labeled New Repel. Click that. Step 3. A pop-up comes up that lists a bunch of different programming languages. If you scroll down the list, you'll see a yellow icon and JavaScript. That's what we're after. Select JavaScript, but don't click Create Repel just yet. Node.js is available as an option too, but just stick with the JavaScript choice for now. The JavaScript selection still uses Node.js, but doesn't include a number of extra files needed for Node.js web development. We don't need them just yet. Step 4. There are a few fields in the form you'll see. Don't worry about the GitHub field, but do name your repel. Call it something like JS Playground, or whatever you like, and then click the Create Repel button. And just like that, you're dropped into a new development environment. As we go through this, we'll tell you what to type. But go ahead too and feel free to try new things and experiment. You can always retrace your steps. We're doing nothing here that's going to break anything. So if you get curious, try new ideas out and see how far you can get. If you go wild with trying things out, anything you can think of, then you will merely be doing what pretty much every successful programmer has started out doing. Signs of different sorts. Over the course of these lessons, we're going to cover many initial concepts. How these ideas are used might not be necessarily obvious, but try to hold on for the ride. You'll gradually begin to appreciate how things come together as we move further down the road. First, let's think about signs and the kinds of things they can point at. You're out walking in the woods. It's a sunny afternoon, spun from the late days of spring, not too warm, and under the shade of towering pines, you hear birds singing through the canopy. You reach a fork in your path, and there's a post with two painted signs shaped like arrows, pointing to the two ways you can keep walking. One sign says lake, and the other sign says campgrounds. Okay, before you check again to confirm which course you're taking, consider two things. First, the signs are both made the same way. They're arrow-shaped pieces of wood with words painted on them. Secondly, a lake and campgrounds are two very different things, and yet the signs are still pointing at them just fine. As with a sign in the woods, so with a variable in JavaScript. A variable in a programming language is a sign or signifier that points at a value. We have to start thinking about variables right away. Think about it. If a user enters a value, like a name, we have to be able to store it in some way so we can work with it. Variables are essential in programming. Regardless of the kind of value assigned, JavaScript variables are made, or declared, in the same way. Var sample value equals 42, or var sample value equals Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The var keyword declares the variable. The equal symbol assigns the number 42, in the first case, to the name sample value. In the second example, the variable refers to what's called a string, which is a sequence of characters. Notice that each line ends with a semicolon. Variables have data types. A variable's data type is determined by the value that has been assigned to it. Initially, this might be a hard concept to understand. Honestly, JavaScript isn't going to make it super easy to get, either, at least with respect to how important types are. This is because JavaScript is a language that uses loose typing. You don't have to declare a variable's type up front in JavaScript, which makes it a little more difficult to understand the importance of types. Many other languages will require that you declare your types right away and then be very careful about them. Instead, in JavaScript, you can simply assign a value to a variable and the JavaScript engine will figure out which type the value belongs to. Yes, this makes handling variables, passing them around, doing things with them, very easy. But loose typing can become a headache in large applications. There are ways to deal with this issue. But for now, just try to remember that JavaScript is keeping track of a variable's data type behind the scenes. We've seen two different types so far. Values of the number type, types are capitalized when we talk about them, can be simple integers or decimal values. These are all values of the number type. The other type we've seen is the string type. Strings are sequences of characters. A character can be a letter, number, space, or different kinds of punctuation marks. Strings are created by enclosing a sequence of characters within single or double quotes, like so. As far as JavaScript is concerned, these are both strings, and they work the same way, despite the fact that one has single quotes and the other has double quotes. Operators. Let's take a look at a few things we can do with numbers and strings. One thing we can do with numbers is math. At its heart, every computer is an ultra-glorified calculator. But don't make the mistake of thinking that either calculators or computers understand anything. They don't. A computer doesn't know what a number is any more than your shoe does. Computers are just machines that do certain operations when specific inputs are given to them. Addition, subtraction, and so on. These things are only meaningful to users. Go ahead and open up your test development environment at Repellit. You'll see that your cursor is blinking in the editor for the index.js file. Here, on the white portion of your screen, you can enter JavaScript statements, run them, and then see the results in the right portion of your screen, which is black. Try printing something to the console. Enter this in the index.js editor. Now click the green Run button located at the top center of the environment. You can also press Command-Enter on Mac or Control-Enter if you're on Windows. Boom! Your first JavaScript program! The console.log statement is one typical way to print out values for inspection in JavaScript. The statement might look a little weird to you, especially if you have experience with other programming languages. It'll only seem weird for a short time. Note: whenever you console.log some value, assuming you don't get an error for some reason, you'll see the value printed out along with another value, undefined. The undefined value is a data type in JavaScript, and you're seeing it because console.log automatically returns that value after doing its job of printing out its value to the console. We haven't discussed functions yet or undefined, so don't worry about those things. Just know that what you're seeing is correct and normal. Nothing's going wrong. Now try typing in a succession of statements. Try the following, but feel free to experiment and try whatever you like. If you get an error, you'll see a large and perhaps intimidating blob of error text. Don't worry about it. You can't break this, and errors are a part of life. Just re-enter the code correctly and you'll be fine. If everything seems to go wonky all at once, you can always back out of the current repel and start a new one. Have fun with this. For that last statement, we accessed a property of the movie string. Its length. Think about it. Can you figure out why it outputs 9 when there are 8 letters in Star Wars? Click here to see the answer. Don't forget to count the space between the two words. It's a character too. We'll be seeing more properties soon. The addition operator works differently with strings. The addition operator becomes an easy way to add strings to strings, numbers, or other symbols, and create longer strings. Keep in mind that this means printing out the variables right next to each other, not adding them like we would in math. Here's an example. Can you predict the output of this program? Click here for the answer. 7. 3 Maria. We can't really add 3 to Maria since Maria isn't a number. JavaScript automatically converts the number to a string and then joins or concatenates the two strings. The increment and decrement operators increase or decrease a numeric value by 1. They're called unary operators. This means that they're applied to their arguments, variables containing integer values, and then they just work, adding or subtracting 1 to the variable as specified. You're on your way. Keep playing around with variables, and if you like, research these ideas online and see what else you can come up with. When you're ready, we'll move on. Key concepts. Var. The var keyword declares a variable. The variable can be a string, number, or some other kind of object. Var works for them all. Console.log. The console.log function outputs strings, which can include number type variables, to the console. This is the usual way of inspecting variables or helpful messages in your code. Even in web development, console.log will never output to a web page. Basic arithmetic operators. These are mostly what you'd expect, but there are a couple of special ones. Let's review. The fourth column shows the output. Arrays, decisions, and loops. One thing that comes up a lot in web development, or any programming task really, is the processing of a list of values. If you're working on a client's e-commerce site, for example, a shopping cart will maintain a list of items that have been saved for purchase. You might have to go through that list and test to see which items are taxable or not, or apply some kind of delivery charge to each item based on price. There are many possibilities. Almost all programming languages make use of a data structure. a means of organizing, accessing, and managing data in memory or on some kind of writable media or both, called an array. Depending upon the programming language, the term array might refer to slightly different things. But in almost all programming languages, an array is a data structure that refers to a collection of values that can be referenced with an index, a number that specifies a position in the array. Let's make some arrays and then access their items. Arrays. In JavaScript, declaring an array is easy. Either one of these statements will assign the specified name, array first or array second, to an empty array. Go ahead and try it out in Repel It and print the variables to the console. In each case, you'll see brackets, the console's representation of an empty array. Now we're going to use a method to add an element to an array. A method is a function associated with an object. We use the push method to add elements, like so. Try the code out. Log the result and you'll see a representation of the array that lists the dog breeds you just added in the order you added them. Now, how do we access these? Simple, by index, as we've said. In programming, counting, or you might think of this as numbering, begins with zero. This isn't how we learned our numbers. Years ago, when you were a toddler and someone who was teaching you to count pointed at your index finger, they didn't say zero. They said one. But that isn't how things work in the programming world. In this world, we start with zero. There are good reasons for this, but for now, let's see our zero in action. So if you want to access the first item in an array, just do so like this. From there, things proceed sequentially, as you would expect. If you log these statements, this is what you see. Terrier, German Shepherd, Border Collie, Labrador Retriever, undefined. Now try accessing an element of the array that doesn't really exist. JavaScript handles this gracefully. This is what we see. This is because there is no item with the index of 4 in the list. There's 4 items, but we number them 0, 1, 2, 3. Making decisions. You're often going to have to write code that makes decisions. Sometimes these decisions will be between alternative courses of action. At other times, you might, say, be testing to see if a value you're looking for is contained in a particular variable. In JavaScript, one of the primary ways to do this is with an if statement. An if statement looks like this. The condition is a code expression that results in true or false value. If the condition is true, then the code between the curly braces is executed. For example, here we have a very basic condition. In this case, we're just testing whether the integer 2 is greater, according to the normal rules of mathematics, than 1. Of course, this condition is true, so JavaScript will print the message to the console. If the condition were false, the code between the curly braces would be skipped. Try changing the left-angled bracket to the right-angled bracket and see what happens. Just to be clear, let's address this idea of a block. A code block in JavaScript is a line of code, or a whole set of lines, nestled between curly braces that has the effect of treating a collection of statements as basically one statement. JavaScript has a number of conditional operators. Below are a few examples. Loops. Let's get back to our array. To operate on all the values of an array, a very common operation, we're going to need a loop. A loop is a method for performing a repeated action, such as iterating through all or some of the values in a data structure. A for statement is one of the most frequently encountered loop structures. Let's say we want to loop over our dog array and find out if there's a German Shepherd lurking somewhere in there. And let's also say that we don't know if there is one. We could do so like this. We'll repeat the kinds of dogs definition to make everything clear. Okay, there's some explaining to do. Let's take this one step at a time. The first thing we do is set up a variable that will tell us if we've found what we're looking for. That's the point of the IDX variable in line 7. We make it equal to -1 because at this point we haven't found anything. If we go through the loop, and still haven't found anything, then the negative 1 will tell us so. We chose negative 1 because it's not possible for a real index to be a negative number. We could have chosen any negative number. Now let's step through the for loop itself. Step 1. In line 8, we have the beginning of the for statement. It begins sensibly with 4, and then there are 3 separate things happening in the parentheses. First, we initialize a new variable. This is going to set up a way to keep track of how many times the loop has iterated and to stop the loop from going on forever. We give that variable the value it's going to have during our first trip through the loop. This value is 0. Step 2. After we initialize the variable, we set up a small but critical test based upon a condition. In order for the loop to continue, this condition must be true. In this case, we test to make sure that the value of I, which is initially 0, is less than our array's length. In this case, length is working just like it did for our earlier string. The kinds of dogs length property has a value of 4. There are 4 elements in the array. The I variable has a value of 0. The 0 value is less than 4. We're using the left angle operator for a less than comparison, so the condition is true. We can proceed. Step 3. After testing the condition, execution drops into the body of the loop. Had the condition been false, everything between the curly brackets would have been ignored. Here we have our first if statement. An if statement is a little like a simple version of the for loop. We see the if keyword and then a condition in brackets. If that condition is met, if it's true, then the code in the body of the if statement, the code between the brackets, is executed. We'll come back to this in a moment. Step 4. After each time the body of the for loop is executed, the third section of code on line 2 runs, incrementing the I variable by 1. Then, if the condition is still true, we execute the loop one more time. These steps continue until I is no longer less than 4, the value returned by kindsofdogs.length. This for loop, as it is currently written, will run 4 times. There are a number of ways to loop over an array, but this is a very common method, and you will see this kind of loop in more or less this form or very similar forms often. Where 4 statements like this one are set up with 3 separate additional statements, the initialization of a variable, a condition, and an increment, or sometimes decrement, an if statement only requires a condition. In our samples, though, we see conditions being specified with the triple equals symbol. We saw this operator in the earlier section, but let's talk about it for a second. JavaScript actually has 2 symbols for testing equality, double equal and triple equal. They're similar, but the triple equal symbol is often preferred, and there's a good reason for this. When you use the double equal operator, JavaScript checks if the operands on both sides of the operator have the same value. But JavaScript will happily do some extra work for you. Let's say that somehow the 2 operands you're comparing are of different types. One is a string and the other is a number, like this. In this case, JavaScript will tell you that these 2 things are equal. Don't believe it? Try it out. Go to your REPL and enter the comparison with 2 equal signs. True? Those aren't the same kinds of things. The computer treats one as a number and the other as a character. But when you use the double equal, the standard equality operators, JavaScript will, if possible, convert the operands to the same type and will then compare them. So you'd better be certain that this is what you want to do. Most of the time, you're going to be better off with JavaScript's strict equality operator, triple equals. With this operator, no type conversion occurs, and this will usually be less confusing. Try it out and see that it won't tell you that 2 in quotations and 2 are the same thing. We're using the strict equality operators in our code sample. Finally, in the sample's second if statement, line 14, we see the else keyword, line 16. This does pretty much what you'd expect. If the if statement's condition is true, then the block of code between the first set of parentheses will be executed, and the block after the else statement will not be executed. If the if statement's condition is not true, then the block of code after the if statement will not be executed, but the block after the else statement will be executed. Under no circumstances will both blocks of code be executed. It will always be one block or the other block, depending upon if the condition is met. Okay, now it's time to experiment. Go to your REPL and paste in the kinds of dogs code. Mess around with it a bit. Add more dogs to the array. Search for different kinds of dogs in the array. Try searching for a dog that isn't in the array. Print different messages. When you think you've got a nice handle on what's happening, try erasing everything and typing it in all over again from memory. Don't worry if it's not perfect. When you retype the code, try something other than dogs. Try cats, or hats, or burrito fillings, or better endings for Game of Thrones. Most of all, have fun and try anything that comes to mind. If you get an error, try to fix it or just start over again. The bottom line is that the more you experiment and the better you get a feel for the code you're typing, the more comfortable you're going to get with the concepts behind everything. Key concepts. Arrays. Arrays are lists of things that can be accessed by a sequential index. An array is created in these ways. An item is added to an array with the push method. For loops. A for statement is a statement that repeats a block of code a specified number of times. A for statement sets up three expressions. 1. An initializing expression that declares a variable and its starting value. 2. A conditional expression that sets up a test that will be performed at the beginning of each execution of the loop's body. 3. An expression that increments the loop's initial variable. Example. If statement. An if statement executes a block of code if its conditional expression is true. An if statement may include the else keyword after its first block of code. The else code will be executed when the if statement's condition is false. For example, functions, scope, and objects. Functions. It's often going to be the case that we're going to want to reuse blocks of code. In fact, this has already come up. The for statement is nothing more nor less than a way to run a block of code repeatedly. But what if you don't want to loop over some kind of data structure? Or what if you want to apply a block of code to some data, but the data might change each time you need to do this? Or what if you want to run a block of code against some data and then return a value and immediately assign that value to a variable? Time to get functional. Functions are the heart and soul of JavaScript programming. You'll organize your code with functions, and you'll think in terms of functions, especially when engaging in complicated tasks or when you're writing complex applications. So let's take a look at an example of a function. This is a basic function declaration. It begins with the function keyword, followed by the name of the function, in this case, haver. The name of a function, or a variable for that matter, must begin with a letter, underscore, or dollar sign, and then be followed by a sequence of letters or numbers. The function's name extends up to the parentheses. The parentheses enclose the function's arguments, which are values that you can pass to the function when you run it. In our sample code, there's only one argument, n. The arguments are followed by a code block. This is the code that runs when the function is called. Our code block only has one statement. It's a return statement. When the function is finished running, it will return the value or variable that comes after the return statement. In our code, we take an argument, n, divide that by 2, and then hand the result back to the execution flow where the function was called. The returned value can be stored in a variable or can serve some other purpose as is needed. For example, this line of code will call the function that is named haver. We know that haver will take the number 10 and then divide it by 2, so it will return 5. So this line of code will assign the value of 5 to the variable called result. Again, this is because the arithmetic comes after the return statement in the function. That is, the return statement returns the result of the arithmetic that immediately follows it. Now you give this a try. Open up your REPL and try defining and calling the function. Once that's working all right, try changing the function so that it logs the result to the console before returning it. Hint, You should make a variable and store the result of the arithmetic there, then log the variable to the console, then return it. Functions can become quite complicated, and they can contain any number of statements or expressions. It's good programming practice, though, to keep functions reasonably short. Long functions, or functions that perform more than one task, may occasionally be necessary, but maybe not. Remember, after you write a program, someone's going to have to come back to it someday and maintain it. That someone might be you. Scope. As stated previously, functions are the heart and soul of JavaScript programming. Sometimes they're the heart and soul of each other, too. As it turns out, you're going to find blocks of code within surrounding blocks of code from time to time. These blocks can be a part of if or for statements, or function definitions. In fact, functions can, and frequently are, defined within other functions in JavaScript. Scope refers to which variables can be accessed from within different blocks of code. This is somewhat confusing, especially without context. Let's look at an example. In this example, this is what we'll see. Green, red, undefined. We'll see this result because first we're calling the sumColor function, and we've assigned the value of green to color. That function logs the value of color to the console, and because color is declared with var within the function, we get the function's version of color. That definition of color is within the function scope. Then we move out of the function and into the surrounding scope, which in this case is the global scope, or the scope that contains all of the running code. In that scope, we've given the value of red to color, and that's what we see. Finally, we see the keyword undefined. Take careful note here. If you don't include a return statement, or if you do include a return statement but return nothing with it, then JavaScript will automatically return undefined from the function. So what happens if we give color a value within the function, but we don't use the var keyword like this? Now we'll see this. Green, green, undefined. When we leave out the var keyword and simply assign the value of green to the color variable, we're no longer declaring a function scope variable. We're just assigning a new value to the variable that was declared in the global scope. Now we have two greens, which must be better than one. Review the code carefully and make sure you know what's happening. Also, paste the code into your REPL and run it in order to confirm everything for yourself. It's important to start getting an idea of how scope works in JavaScript. We've only scratched the surface here. Objects. If functions are the heart and soul of JavaScript, objects are, well, the remaining internal organs, or maybe the blood cells. Maybe it's time to abandon this metaphor. Objects are a lot like arrays, in the sense that they organize other things. Defining an object is easy. Just create a series of name-value pairs within curly braces and assign that to a variable. The values can be numbers, strings, arrays, anything you can assign to a variable, really. Let's see an example. Go ahead and paste the code into your REPL and run it. What do you see? Yep, you've got yourself an object. JavaScript's typeof operator returns a string that tells us the data type of its argument. Object, undefined. Objects can do some fun things. For one, you can access an object's properties in two different ways, by index or by the dot operator. For example, these two lines do the same thing. They both log my dog to the console. Try it and see. If you try to access a property that doesn't exist in the object, you'll be handed undefined instead. Adding a property to an object is as simple as assigning it. If we want my dog to have a favorite treat, make it so. And just like that, donut has a treat. Use the delete operator to remove a property. Let's say donut doesn't want his age broadcast to the world. Simple enough. Again, run these examples in your own REPL. And no worries, donut is now ageless. What if you're not sure about what properties an object has? JavaScript's got you. Just use the object. No, you're not seeing double. Objects are used to organize functionality and concepts. And JavaScript comes with a number of built-in objects that you just get for free. One of these is called Object, and it has some methods that are useful. So if you want to get a list of the properties associated with my dog, you can just do this. And just like that, PropList is a list of my dog's properties. Try it out. Similarly, for my dog's values, this is just scratching the surface as far as objects are concerned. They will come up again because they can do a lot and they're very useful. For now, review the key concepts and then let's take a look at how JavaScript can work within the context of a web page. Key concepts. Functions. Functions organize blocks of code, variables and statements, into single entities that return values. Functions can take arguments. They can take more than one. This makes functions useful for separating repetitive tasks from data, which can change in different circumstances. This might happen, for example, based on the data a user submits in a form. A JavaScript function declaration consists of the function keyword, an optional list of arguments, or just empty parentheses if there are no arguments, and a code block, code between curly brackets. For example, here's another. Scope. Scope has to do with how variables and functions can be called from different places in your code. The basic idea here is to remember that a function or a statement can use variables from a surrounding scope, but not the other way around. Let's take a look at this code sample. The output will be monster woof dogzilla. This is because dog namer's puppy name variable is restricted to dog namer's scope due to the var keyword being used in the function. What happens if dog namer omits the var keyword when using the puppy name variable? Objects. Objects are a primary means of organizing concepts and groups of data in JavaScript. Objects are groups of property value pairs. Properties are named with strings, numbers are converted to strings, and values can be strings, numbers, arrays, objects, or functions. We haven't covered this. JavaScript provides explicit ways of working with objects, easily adding or deleting properties, discovering properties, accessing values. Because of this, objects are convenient and their ability to group different kinds of data together makes them useful for representing all kinds of things. Creating a basic object is very easy. JavaScript in the browser. We've covered a lot of stuff pretty quickly, and there's a lot more to talk about where all of these subjects are concerned. But it's never too much fun to sprint ahead with theory and abstract ideas if we're not sure where we're going. So let's take a first look at how JavaScript can be used in web development. This will be another whirlwind tour. And we need to know some more things to get into the seriously cool territory, but at least you'll start to have an idea about how JavaScript and web pages talk to each other. Tip calculator. It always happens. You're out with your friends at some seriously nice place, you've had a great dinner, and then the check comes. No one knows how to tip. If it's happened once, it's happened 100 times. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just use your own tip calculator? Let's get to work. Go ahead and create a new repel at Repel.it. You'll get a pop-up that prompts you for a language. Type HTML, and you'll see an option for HTML, CSS, JS. That's what you want. The new repel will come with 3 new files. You'll see them to the left of the repel environment: index.html, script.js, and style.css. Go ahead and paste in the code listed below for each file. After each file's code is pasted in, click the Run button and you'll see the Tipulator, our custom tip calculator. Play with it for a moment and then continue below the code listings. We'll go ahead and explain everything that's new. Index.html. Script.js. Style.css. Believe it or not, you already understand most of this code. Let's go over it and see how much you've already got. index.html. This is a pretty typical HTML page, especially for a web application. We've got the HTML5 declaration at line 1. The head element is pretty simple, just a title and a link to a style sheet that's making everything look nice. Nothing new there. Well, there's one thing that's a little new. If you've played with the tipulator, it's not hard to get a sense of what the JavaScript is doing, especially since you've already pasted the code into a file. But where's the script element? How is the JavaScript code being connected to the HTML? Take a look all the way near the bottom of the HTML code at line 43. Whoa, what's it doing way down there? Welcome to one of the realities of JavaScript application development. Computers do things very fast, and sometimes they do them a little too fast. In this case, we put the script element at the bottom of the document because there are lines in the script that refer to elements in the HTML. If we put the script element at the top of the document, the browser will load, parse, and execute the script first before the required HTML elements have completely loaded. If that happens, and it will, the application won't work. It's a good practice then to put the script element at the bottom of the page. There are other solutions for this too. Special attributes, async and or defer, can be added to a script element located in the head of an HTML document. We'll leave that for you to research. Just keep in mind that you'll often see script elements at the bottom of HTML documents in order to optimize loading speed. So the loading of the document isn't slowed down by the execution of the script, and to ensure that required elements are in place. In the form, the select element is new too. The select element creates the choice drop-down menu in the form, and for each option, there's an associated option element. The value attribute of the selected option will be submitted when the form is submitted. One option's a little special. For the Choose Service Quality option, we see the disabled and selected attributes. The disabled attribute keeps that option from being submitted as a choice. We need to select a tip value after all. The selected attribute makes that option the default, which appears when the form loads. The only other new tag here is the small tag that surrounds the per person text. It makes the text a little smaller. No surprises here. Script.js. This might seem intimidating at first, but this is the truth. You've seen most of this before. There's one really big new idea, and it's pretty easy to understand. First, when a web page loads, it creates something called the DOM, or Document Object Model. This provides a way for a web developer to grab elements of the HTML and then do things with them. Everything that a web page is, the HTML elements and all of their attributes and values, the CSS rules and all of their properties and values, and even a whole set of possible events or things that can happen to the page, all of these things are made available to a web developer for them to do with as they will. All you have to know is how to grab the things. Well, the biggest new idea in the script.js file is document.getElementById parentheses. This allows you to access the elements of a web page. The getElementById parentheses method makes it possible to access a specific element by its ID attribute, as long as it has one. Once you've accessed the element, you can access its properties. For example, in the first three lines of the tipulate function, we see the value attribute's value. Yeah, that is confusing, but it makes sense if you think about it for a second, being assigned to variables. Those value attributes are taken from the form elements specified by the IDs given to the getElementById method. Those are the variables that serve as the base values for the tip calculation. A keen observer might wonder how math is being performed on the strings obtained from these form elements. JavaScript, ever helpful, converts the strings to numbers when the math operations are executed. Elsewhere in the script, you can see how other elements are selected and their attributes are changed. After the tip is calculated, the last thing the function does is insert the total into the inner HTML attribute of the element with the tip ID, a span element in the HTML. Finally, the last line of the script grabs the calculate button and assigns the tipulate function to the onClick event. This means that when the button is clicked, the function is executed. Okay, this seems like a lot, but honestly, as we've said, everything else in the script.js file is made up of variable assignments and if statements. There's a call to the round method in the math object, but that's easy to look up. The toFixed method here simply restricts the number of digits that come after a decimal point. Review the CSS file, but don't worry about it. There isn't much that's new, and it's more important to get comfortable with what's happening in the script.js file. JavaScript libraries. It's been said that the best developers are lazy. They try to figure out how to represent a difficult task or idea with a good abstraction, and then they don't have to work as hard. JavaScript libraries have been created with this kind of practical abstraction in mind. A good web development JavaScript library aims to make DOM manipulation and traversal as easy as possible. They'll also frequently provide useful CSS effects and event handling functions that simplify related tasks. There are many popular web-oriented JavaScript libraries. One of the most popular is jQuery. The jQuery library offers many different kinds of optimizations, utilities, and useful CSS functions that make the common tasks of web development a breeze. But in recent years, there's been a push to use libraries less often. For one thing, it's often the case that when you include a library in your code, you're not using all of that library's functions. So you're increasing the load time of your web page by including the whole library, but for only a limited selection of its advantages. By contrast, vanilla JavaScript is always custom written for whatever task is at hand. This tends to lead to faster, smaller, easier to maintain, and less error-prone code. But you do have to know a little more upfront. As a modern web developer, you'll be expected to know JavaScript very well. Good developers become familiar with a range of libraries. Depending upon the project you're working on, you may have to decide if a library's advantages are worth the added download time, the requirement that new developers know the library, and the possibility that what's popular today might fade tomorrow. Key concepts. The DOM, Document Object Model. The DOM is a model of an entire web page, everything that it is, HTML elements, CSS, events. Using the DOM, a web developer can access any part of a web page and manipulate it, alter it, add to it, or delete from it. Understanding the DOM and how to affect it is fundamental to web development and web security. Script loading. It's typically the case that the DOM must load before a script is read and executed. Because of this, it's essential, most of the time, to link scripts at the bottom of an HTML document. This will also lead to performance gains. Pages that have scripts linked from the bottom will load faster because they're not pausing the construction of the DOM in order to read and execute a script. Document.getElementById. There are a few ways to access elements in the DOM. GetElementById is one of them. The query selector method is another. This will allow you to use CSS selectors to access elements in the DOM. Once you've accessed an element in the DOM, you can access its properties and make live changes to the web page. Knowledge check. By answering these questions, you can test your understanding of new information and uncover any gaps in your knowledge. Reviewing the feedback will help you focus your studying before taking the graded unit quiz. Question 1. What is the purpose of a for loop? A. To declare a variable. Incorrect. A variable has to be declared before it is used, but this is not done with a for loop. B. To create two different paths that a program can follow. Incorrect. A for loop does not create two different paths. C. To repeat a block of code. Correct. A for loop is an easy way to repeat a sequence of instructions. D. To allow user input. Incorrect. A for loop may or may not require user input. Question 2. Which of these statements is correct? A. A number is always a global variable. Incorrect. A number does not have to be a global variable. B. A number is always a local variable. Incorrect. A number does not have to be a local variable. C. A global variable can be used anywhere in a program. Correct. This is accurate. A global variable can be accessed anywhere in a program. D. A local variable can be used anywhere in a program. Incorrect. A local variable can only be used within its scope, usually a function, not anywhere in a program. Question 3. Which of these is an example of a function definition? A. Incorrect. This is a for loop. B. Correct. This function definition is written correctly. It includes the header with keyword, function name, and argument, as well as a block of code that runs when the function is called. C. Incorrect. This is an if-else statement. D. Incorrect. This code assigns June to the variable month and then prints it to the console. Conclusion. JavaScript is undergoing constant development and improvement, and new features are being added every year that make the language a more powerful tool for web development. One thing is for certain. JavaScript isn't going anywhere. There was a time when JavaScript seemed like it was an antiquated tool. Those days are long gone. JavaScript has been put into active production as a part of so many sophisticated and critical web applications that your continuing education in JavaScript will do nothing but pay off in the future. The more you learn, the more you're going to love what you're able to accomplish. This is just the beginning.